Dear young people.
Don't vote.
Don't vote.
Everything's fine the way it is.
Trump. That was us.
He's our guy.
Tax cuts for the rich? Hell yeah. I'm rich
as fuck. Taylor Swift broke her silence on politics over the weekend, publicly backing two Democrats in Tennessee, where she votes. She announced in an Instagram post that she will vote for former Governor Phil Bredesen for the Senate. And
one crucial demographic is unenthusiastic AF.
We always talk about who's going to come out and vote, you know, what demographic, what group. Young people, usually, historically, they don't show up.
Young people are the least likely to vote.
Young people, as a group, don't vote in the numbers that older folks do.
Turnout among younger voters is often below 30% in an election where people in their 50s and 60s turn out at
And, like, why do I have to go out to vote? Can't you just Postmates the election to me, you know? Like, oh, Tony will be here in 20 minutes with my ballot and my seaweed salad? Dope. Okay.
We are less than 3 weeks away from Election Day. The Daily will publish their endorsements on the 29th. Until then, we're going to take a closer look at some of the state's races and initiatives on the ballot. But before that, and more importantly, we need to have a discussion about voting. I'm Dee Dee Madigan, and this is The Wrap-Up, The Daily's weekly podcast rounding up all the news you should know about. Today is Friday, October 19th. Nearly 90% of the UW's enrolled students were registered to vote. However, only 67% did. If you took an introductory political science class, or perhaps AP Gov in high school, you might remember that this statistic shouldn't be a surprise. Young voters don't participate as much as older generations do. In fact, the UW's numbers are actually relatively high compared to other schools. But why young people don't turn out to vote is a whole nother question. Professor John D. Wilkerson, chair of the Political Science Department and the director for the Center for American Politics and Public Policy, explains a couple theories.
The two main theories are perceptions of sort of the relevance of politics and elections for people's lives, and then the other one is essentially experience and learning how to navigate the process of actually participating in elections and getting accustomed to that being a part of your life. So in the first one, right, I think everybody's busy, young people are busy with things, and they don't typically get a lot of signals about the importance of politics in the kinds of activities they're involved in. And then if they look at the issues that are being debated, often those issues don't seem, you know, directly relevant to their lives. On the question of experience and its impact, it's really, I mean, the argument is that if you haven't had any experience participating in elections, you know, it takes time to figure out how to actually do that, to remember to do what you need to do at the appropriate time. And so that would make it less likely that young people would vote than older people as well.
Over the decades with new technology and stuff and, like, you know, the web, you know, the internet to, like, register to vote and stuff, has participation from the younger demographics gone up, or is it still relatively the same pattern?
We see variations, but in general it's been the same pattern over time. So when young people are excited about a particular election, then we'll see a significant turnout. So in the case of Obama's election, his first election, we had a dramatic increase in turnout in that election, and then less turnout in his reelection campaign, certainly even lower turnout in midterm election years and that sort of thing. So I think that, you know, a really important part of the explanation for that is people perceive that this was an election that was going to really make a difference and they could have an influence, and so that motivated them to turn out.
Normally, midterms see low voter turnout, and typically the party not in control of the White House will take over a chamber of Congress, which is exactly what the Democrats are hoping to do this election. So the big question is, will this midterms prove to be any different? It's been 2 years since Trump was elected. Will the blue wave prevail, and will we see more people participating in this election than those before?
So my name's Jake Goldstein-Street. I'm a staff reporter for The Daily. And last week I wrote a story going around talking to different nonpartisan organizations on campus that are trying to register voters, such as the RCSA, the Residential Community Student Association, the IFC, the Interfraternity Council, Panhellenic Association for Sororities, and ASUW's Office of Government Relations. And what they were doing as people moved into on-campus housing and getting people as they move into Greek Row and those kind of things, was able to register hundreds of voters before the October 9th deadline. And then this week I wrote an article based on what more partisan organizations on campus are doing, such as the Young Democrats, College Republicans, NARAL Pro-Choice, and WashPerg, which is nonpartisan. I was actually surprised by what people said. They seem to think that more like all elections are important, more than this one specifically is important, even though there is definitely a lot of people talking about it because it can change everything that happens, whether it's checks on the Trump presidency, investigations, and votes on Supreme Court nominees that may come up. None of the organizations seemed to think it was more important than any other election, which surprised me. And also, back on the numbers that you were talking about, the 90%, I was very surprised about that because you don't think that a lot of people are registered if you're registering hundreds of people, but the registration rate is actually really high, and the amount of those voters, I think it's 67.6% or something, that are voting is actually higher nationally than other public schools in America, but I still think that 67 is higher than what you would expect based on the apathy that you hear from a lot of people. And specifically in 2016, you had an election where a lot of voters, especially college students, were apathetic about both presidential candidates. So I think voter turnout would be higher in 2020. Meanwhile, in midterms, people tend not to think of them as super important because you don't know the names of the people you're voting for. You don't have, people don't take as much time to invest in educating themselves on these things. And a lot of news, such as MSNBC, CNN, aren't going to be talking about your candidates, whereas 2016, all they talked about was Trump and Clinton. So you don't know a lot. People tend to be more interested in voting right now because of problems they've seen in the Trump administration or things they've seen that are really good and they want to support those further.
That's a really interesting question. I'm pretty sure that voter turnout among young people will be low because it's a midterm election. And, you know, I guess the question is how salient is this election to younger people? And probably for younger women, it's a very salient election given, you know, the issues that have been raised recently with Kavanaugh and that sort of thing. But beyond that, I guess my hunch would be that it's not going to be, we're not going to see extraordinary turnout among younger voters in this election.
One of the organizations that's trying to make sure that students turn out to vote on campus is WashPerg.
So my name's Micah. I am a WashPerg intern, actually, and I'm the co-coordinator for our Hunger and Homelessness campaign.
My name's Madison. I'm our chapter chair for the UW WashPerg chapter. And I'm also focusing on the New Voters Project along with our campaign coordinator. So WashPerg is a student-run, student-funded activist group here on campus. We do a lot of work on a variety of issues. So we recently just finished our registration drive, and we registered 250 people to vote here on campus. The student groups, they registered almost 200 just from like the RCSA, the Residential Student Council, as well as like in the sororities and the fraternities, just on campus, our group doing things, different groups doing things. And so I think that the voter registration rate is really high because of that. And so we are just going to, as a coalition, wanted to focus on making sure that people are going to not only be registered, but also use that registration for something. And so holding different events on campus and making sure that people know when the deadline is and know where to take it and all that good stuff.
It's really interesting, too, to be able to interact with people one-on-one about just, like, do they know how to vote? Like, a lot of people who are, like, I've never voted before, help kind of situation where they're just, like, how do I get my ballot sent here? What do I do if I'm out of state? Like, what if I want to vote in my home county in Washington State, but I want my ballot to get sent to my dorm in Seattle? Just, like, working out those issues with them because there aren't things that I think most people really think about, that you can do that, you know? Like, if you want to vote in Eastern Washington and want your ballot to be sent to Seattle, you can do that still. If you're not registered, you actually can still register. You do have to go downtown, City Hall, physically be there to register, but you can still do it. And if you're not registered, you should.
Do you think that this election is gonna see maybe like more young people overall voting?
Well, I would say, you know, it's always important for young people to have a voice, but tensions are running high. I think whatever you're feeling, if you feel strongly about it, if you don't feel strongly about it, it's really important to use your voice. We as young people, have some of the lowest voter turnout rates, and in some ways are some of the people who will be impacted most by what's going on in government now, or at the very least will be impacted for the longest by any long-term changes that are made now. So it is, you know, it's our lives and we deserve to have a voice in government, so why not mobilize the student vote?
I always say this thing that, like, if you have a problem with anything, or even if you're just like feel fine about things, like, you might as well vote. Like, it doesn't hurt to have your voice in the mix.
And lastly, the other news that you should know about. Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, died this past Monday after complications with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Allen attended Washington State University for 2 years before founding Microsoft with Bill Gates in 1975. Allen and his foundation helped fund the Computer Science and Engineering Building on campus, which now bears his name. In 2017, the department was rededicated and named the Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science and Engineering. Allen was 65 years old. University of Washington President Anna Marie Kase gave her annual address on Tuesday. Kase's address focused on the challenges that lay ahead for the university, detailing insufficient state funding. Kase cited the fact that compared to other top public universities in the country, the UW is near the bottom for both state funding and undergraduate tuition rates. The 2018 Husky Hall of Fame class will be honored during Saturday's game against Colorado in honor of Homecoming Weekend. This year's inductees include basketball star Brandon Roy, volleyball national champion Courtney Thompson, softball pitcher Danielle Laurie, who pitched 4 perfect games in her career, football players Mark Brunell and Chad Ward, golfer Brock McKenzie, the most decorated men's golf player in the program history, and women's basketball head coach Chris Gilbrecht. On Thursday, the Washington State Supreme Court made another big ruling, declaring in a 5-4 decision that sentencing youth offenders to life in prison without parole is unconstitutional. 20 other states, plus Washington, D.C., have already outlawed the practice. That wraps up this week's news. I'm Dee Dee Madigan, and I'll see you next week.